Accession number 31468, Mr. Brian Ward, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about your time with the basic, your basic training with the Leicestershire Regiment, their depot at Glen Parva in South Wigston. Now, we're going through a typical day in bits and bobs. Now, so you've had your breakfast.
Yes.
What might you do next?
You probably put denims on, and then you'd go in a classroom and be told just what it was all about and where you might go and what you might do.
What, every day?
At the beginning of the first two or three days. And then you'd get a programme laid out during the day, either PT, weapon training, kit, like kit inspections, and lectures by various ranks.
So you get a day's programme.
You get a day's programme, or probably a week's, explaining what you could do and what you was expected to do and what you have to achieve, or if you didn't pass out, you get what you call back squadded. So, and we was the first intake to be trained with the new SLR 7.62 rifle.
Well, let's,
because it came, everybody else had got 303s, and we were the first intake in our battalion to be trained with this new Belgian FN rifle.
Well, let's start with that then. So tell me, weapons training then, SLR, tell me about you could shoot.
Oh, yes.
You must have had a perception on how they were training you, because I'm not sure how much the army go along with people who already know what they're doing. How did they train you on the SLR?
Well, you learn how to strip it, clean it, and put it together again with your blindfolded or in the dark and given a certain time. And you had to learn safety, very much so.
Now, you must have known that already.
That's right, yes.
So what are the tenets of safety they're getting across to you?
Well, if you're on the range and it jams, you don't turn around and say, "Look, Sarge, it's jammed." But with the SLR, it was that accurate, you didn't have to allow for wind on the range. You could just go to a place called Kibworth. We had the Jimpies and the Bren guns, and
So what was the SLR like? What did you think of it?
I thought it was a brilliant weapon.
Why? What was so good about it?
I found it was easy to handle. The 303 was very heavy, and the bayonets was awful from what I could see of it. But the SLR, it was compact, automatic, and being an engineering background, I could understand the way it had been put together. And that was a big, and I can come on to this on the next interview as I progress with the TA nearly 30 years later. But with the SLR, wonderful. In fact, when I got to the battalion, I won quite a few bits and pieces with the shooting with it.
So you found, you could shoot with it. It was a good weapon, and
I felt safe and confident with it.
That's the SLR. Now, you mentioned the other thing. Did you do bayonet training with the SLR?
Yes, we did indeed.
Now, what was that?
Well, screaming and shouting.
Still doing that one.
And sat bags on pens, or a figure on a pole, the Zoe hanging. If you miss it, it swung round, you'd hit your back of the neck. And we used to do a lot of bayonet practices, a lot of bayonet practice, because you're only small. It wasn't the pig stick, because it was a proper knife with a grip. That's right. Yeah. I mean, it was a hell of a thing.
Did they go beyond learning to charge and stick it in and
twist? Yeah, twist.
Did they actually go on to what they used to call bayonet fencing, which is
parrying? Oh yes, yeah. You knock it and then you hit them with the butt. Oh yes, the teacher try and teach you all things like that. Oh yes. So, and unarmed combat.
So, tell us about. Well, I'll come back to unarmed combat. We do the weapons first. There's a bayonet. Now, you mentioned the Bren gun.
Yeah, about the Bren gun.
Now, what about that?
I enjoyed that. We used to win. A friend of mine who I'm meeting next week. I've not seen him for 47 years. I was talking to somebody in Menorca last year, and he said, "Where do you come from?" And he said, "Nottingham." And I said, oh, I used to know a bloke from Nottingham. He says, well, actually, it's Nuttall. I said, this bloke from Nuttall. Got talking. He said, his sister's still there. A month later, phone rang. Hello, you old whatever. It's Harry Housechild. 47 years. Next Friday, I'm going to see him. After 47 years. He lives at Chorley.
So you train on the Bren gun with him?
And he was my number two.
Now, tell me about the Bren gun then. I mean, that's another interesting engineering thing. Oh, I think your background here.
Yeah. I mean, you have to learn to assemble it. And what happens if you've got stoppages? And you had to learn to put it together in a darkened room or whatever. And with your number two, one of the competitions you had was called falling plates. At 200 yards, you had a foot square plate on a pivot. Right? So what happened was, your mate got the Bren at a firing point, and he used to run like hell and assemble it. And while he was assembling, he used to jog down so you didn't run out of breath, because you got it worked out, see. By the time you got there, it was loaded. And I used to drop down into my shoulder, crack, 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 falling plates, sorted. We used to get it.
Now, what did you think of the Bren as a gun?
Useful. Very useful.
What was good about it?
Well, you could get it on quick firing or single shot, depending on...
And you were good at both?
Yeah, we could sort it, no problem.
Now, it was accurate, wasn't it?
It certainly was.
Now, some people have said that for a machine gun, it's a bit too accurate. The bullets kill the same bloke twice. It doesn't have a spread.
It doesn't have the spread, no.
Did you see that as a disadvantage in the Bren, or was it not? Or don't know how you were thinking?
Well, not really, because... I would just... fascinated by weapons, full stop. I mean, when we used to go throwing grenades.
So, as far as you, that wasn't a problem.
No.
What about the stoppages? I mean, it did have stoppages.
It does, yeah.
Were they first serious?
You used to call it the first IA. The first one was barrel on, barrel off. Then you used to have to set your gas regulator to see whether that was set right. Or the flash. We've got a flashing, so the enemy couldn't see where your fire was coming from. Because some of the time we had to put tracers in, you see, to give a guidance to whoever you were shooting at. Now, there's one interest I can come back. When we'd done a lot of this weapons training, mainly with the bayonets, if you don't mind me telling you, this happened in the morning, and it had just slightly been drizzling. Not a lot, just slightly drizzling. So we was told to put the kit on our beds, the guns and that, rifles, go and have your dinner, then come back and we'd carry on. So an hour later, they got us lined up, and the officer, the OC of the company, came by and said, right, you lot, we're going to have a bayonet inspection. Okay. On five of us, on the bayonet blade, it had just, won't say rust, but it was marked because of the drizzle of the rain. And so we were charged for what he called a rusty bayonet. So they marched us in front of the CO the next morning. And do you know what the charge was? Having a rusty bayonet, it was against the Geneva Convention, because if we were to stab somebody, they'd have died of blood poisoning. And I got 5 days.
How did you feel about that?
I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it.
And that's 5 days confined to barracks, wasn't
it? Yeah.
And what was being confined? We might as well go on to that. What was being confined to barracks?
Well, you couldn't go out down to the local pub. And not that we could go home anyway for the first few weeks anyway. So it wasn't really all doom and gloom. You couldn't go down to the local pub, full stop. But there was a naffy. You could get your egg and chips.
After you couldn't do that. So let's have a look at the other weapons. You mentioned a Jimpy.
That a machine gun.
Is that the general purpose machine?
Yeah, but we didn't do much. We didn't do much with that. That was in a late life. We had quite a bit with grenades.
Tell us about grenades. Was it just the Mills?
Yeah, the 48 piece. When it comes to the 48 pieces, we used to go to a place called Beckenham on the side of Newark. And you were taught, you had primers, you had a 3-second fuse and a 7 second fuse. This one was silver and one were brass to give you the, and you had to pull the pin, count three and throw overhand
like a cricket ball.
Yeah, it'd go like that. And it did happen. We had a bloke drop one in the trench, and you'd never seen people move so much in your life. And we used to be like an old vehicle about 20, 30 yards away that we were supposed to aim at. But this bloke had got back, and he knocked his hand on the back of the tin at the trench and dropped the... God.
Who dealt with it? I mean, did he...
The sergeant.
Did he throw it out?
Yeah, he were there. It's not the first time. Sergeant Stott. He was an ex-World War II veteran. He was our training sergeant.
So he dealt, he'd be expected.
Oh, you could see he'd done it before. He was on the ball all the time.
Now, any other weapons you were introduced to?
We had a attachment used to put on the end of a 303 that's supposed to hit at a tank.
Is that the Energa?
Yeah, that's it, Energa grenade. But it was no good up to 50 yards. I mean, you could have been killed by the time you got near a tank. And it was lethal. You couldn't squeeze it like an ordinary trigger. You had to go like that quick, or you'd snap your fingers. It took off of the powder to this Nurgle grenade. Yeah, I didn't like that at all. No, I did not.
What about mortars? Any a 2-inch mortar? Or?
Not till we got to the 1st Battalion.
So that's weapons training. We're now the other things that you will have had at training sessions is we haven't mentioned yet drill.
Football. Yes.
Now, how did you take to drill? I mean, you'd been in the Boys Brigade, so
yes.
You had some.
Well, I'd also been in the carnival band. So I knew my left from my right, left turn, right turn. So again, it wasn't really any problems. And once we got the hang of the corporals shouting at you and sorting and people turning right and left, and some people with a left hand going with a left leg and, you know, just things like that, it was... All right.
Did you understand the point of drill as a young lad?
Not for a start, no. Especially when they used to get your shortest on the left, tallest on the right, then you marched in ranks, and then if you looked, you were like that, weren't you, in a squad, and it looked all even. So, and then your right dress, two paces, open order march, and... Yeah, it was okay.
Did you like it? Some people like drill.
I'll tell you what, I did like the ball. I did like to look. In fact, I still polish my boots now.
Well, one of the things we do, things that you do in a day, is prepare for kit inspections.
Yeah, we do indeed.
If we look at the whole process of getting your room and your kit ready for an inspection, that's a valuable thing for us. How would you get your room and your kit ready?
Well, I can tell you basically now, but in the later interviews, we had a GCO's in Germany kit inspection, and that was horrendous. It took a fortnight.
Well, we'll come to that. But just tell us now in your basic training, how did you have to get your boots and everything else ready for a kit inspection?
Well, when you gave them, we had a pair of boots. We used to call them cobbly wobblies because they got pimples in. Royal Leicesters are the 17th of foot. So we had to have 17 studs in each boot, 2, 3 and 3/4.
So there was actually an order they had to be in.
Yep. And if you got one missing on parade, you was on jankers.
Now, how do you bull boots? Because people don't. But I mean, yours are polished, but they're not bull.
No, but my other shoes are, because we still do regimental dinners and things.
Tell us how you bull your boots.
Well, for a start, to get the pimples off, a spoon. And a candle, hot candle and wax, and plenty of elbow grease. And it used to take days. Why they didn't give you boots without the pimples in for a start, I do not know. You had two pair. You had one for working and one for best. Well, you had at side of your bed every day for your best boots, or when you was on guard or big parades.
Now, did the Leicesters, did they bull the whole boot, or did they just do the toe cap and the heel?
Toe caps and heels. But the others had to look nice. I'll come on to that to a later date, though, when we got to the 1st Battalion's regards.
What about the rest of your kit? How about... What did you...
Socks, grey, had to be folded to the size of a 20-player packet. Laces had to be curled like a licorice stick and bulled.
Polished.
Bed packs. Blankets round. blankets on the top, and then two thin blanket sheets in between. Your bed cover on your mattress got to be taut. You could throw a coin on it so it bounced when you come by. Your locker on top, you had to have your battle order kit with your water bottle on one side, your ammo pouches, your ground sheet with a piece of wood in it to make it stand up, then your big pack with another piece of wood in it to make it look square, then your small pack with a box in it, you had to do that to make it look square, and then your tin hat helmet on the top. And then inside you've got to have a decent array of your cleaning gear or whatever.
What about were you still blanco?
Yeah, we had to buy your own blanco.
Can you explain what and how you did it? Because people don't know what it is now.
Well, blanco, each battalion had their own colour.
And what was yours?
When I was in training, it was a mustard colour. Horrible, yellowy mustard. And you always got somebody else's kit. So for a start, we got a special blanco in room, big sinks and this table and slate tops, and you just have to scrub it, get it all off. And for the first week you didn't blanco, you just scrubbed your webbing till it was nearly white, and your brasses. Then we had this yellow or mustard coloured blanco while I was in training, and you used to put it on with a shaving brush.
How did you put it on?
With a shaving brush, wet. It was a tin about the size of a pint mug, but not so high, and you had a shaving brush and a drop of water, and you painted it on. But you had to be careful that you got your brasses off before you done it, and I'll come on to that later, because your brasses had to be cleaned outside and inside, and also on the buckles, and your buckles there. So yeah, the blanco. But when we got to the 1st Battalion, the blanco went to green. And you used to have to blanco your gaiters, and the straps had to be blackened as well. And they weren't to go beyond the buckle. They had to be cut so they was in line. They weren't just hanging loose, like if you got a belt and it was hanging loose, it's got to be dead square.
And what about the room itself?
The room was polished with a bumper.
Now, what's a bumper?
A bumper, it's a heavyweight block. I should suggest it weighs about 6 or 7 pounds. You got on your hands and knees and put floor polish all over the floor for a start. And then you'd put a piece of rag or duster and you swing this bumper backwards and forwards, up and down the room, till you could see your face in it. Then the sergeant would come and look at it, say, "That's very nice." He'd go outside, he'd pick up the trash can and throw it straight down the middle of the room if it weren't good enough. You had to start again. Or, I've had it happen to me, even the 1st Battalion. I've had the officer, we had to iron your own kit, you know, and I had an iron, and used to rent it out to the blokes. But the lockers were that small, there weren't enough room to put it. So I put mine back of my top kit. And this sergeant found it. A bloke called Buxton. "Come here, sir, come here, sir. Look at this, sir. He fetched this bloke, the officer, a bloke called Dan Eggs. Look at this, sir. And he said, "You can see my iron." He said, "Open the window, Ward." I opened the window and he got me kit and he chucked everything out off my bed through the window. I mean, would they do it today? Throw everything out.
And so, I mean, what about things like, you have the stoves, and I thought they had a stove in the room there. It's not a hut, so probably not.
No, there wasn't a stove. It was central heating. Big cast iron. Right, but it was still cold. Oh, cold.
So, did you mind that kind of bull, spit and polish? Bull?
Not really, but it did some people. You could hear them crying in the beds at night. And one or two people done a runner. And one bloke got that wired up. They took him to Netley. That's the equivalent of the nut house in Hampshire somewhere, isn't it? Yeah, he just couldn't hack it.
How did you get on with the other lads, the other recruits? You know, I mean,
well, we was a mixed bunch actually. We'd got everything from labourers to solicitors, because we're national service.
Were they all national service, or were they regular?
No, they were all national service in our intake, and from every spectrum of life. I'd say lawyers, solicitors, engineers, bricklayers, carpenters, council workers, or whatever.
All
in the same, all gelled in together.
And how did it work? Was there trouble or not?
There was at times, yes. Yeah, especially with gambling. There used to be a lot of gambling with some of the people. They weren't allowed, you know, but if some got into debt, there was all hell to play, and if they were caught, yeah.
Now, any bullying, you know, some of the...
There was tried to be, but we had a training corporal. I won't mention his name, but money went missing, and we found out it was him. But we took our own, you know, we sorted that out between us.
How?
We stopped him doing it.
That fair enough. I don't even want you to get into trouble, right? So how did you get on with the instructors, you know?
Well, I got a little...
I mean, obviously not with him, but...
Looking back, I wish when we first had the training sessions, they'd have told us more about the regiment. I learned more about the regiment when I come out than I did when I'm in. If somebody had told me they'd been in the retreat at Singapore, they'd got hammered at Crete, they'd been in the desert, you know, why didn't they give us an history of why and what? And going way back to the battle honours at Princetown in the American Wars, the Somme, Passchendaele, Zulu, Relief of Ladysmith. We still have balls, you know, for the Relief of Ladysmith at Leicester.
But so they didn't tell you about
that? They didn't tell us about that. No, they should have done.
They used to have a lot of the regiments, I don't know the less, used to have a little book that they gave to all recruits.
No, we didn't, no. But you could see in the guard room, you could see all the battle honours, Sevastopol and Neuve-Chapelle, Ypres and all this.
But no one ever told
you. Nobody thought, what's all that about? You know.
Do you think that would have helped?
I didn't know my RSM was at Crete when they first used German Paris. Coming down and they were shooting them. I mean, why didn't they tell us all this? And two of my instructors had got the MM in Korea, military medals in Korea. But we didn't know how or why. We knew it had been to Korea.
Now, what were the instructors like, including the one that stole things? What were they like as a whole, too? How did they treat you? What were they like as instructors?
If you were respected and done as you're told, no problem. No problem.
So they were fair?
They were fair.
If you did
firm but fair. I mean, one thing I didn't like in training, boxing was compulsory.
I will come back to that. Stick to the instructors a bit more if you can. I will come back to boxing. Was there a lot of shouting? Did they shout and swear, or was it just...
No, shout and swear. Oh, you know, you haven't got a mother, or... Oh, yes.
You didn't mind that, though? You must have heard it before.
Well, exactly. I mean, it wasn't nothing new. You know, I'm standing on your hair and you broke your mother's heart, but you're not going to break mine. And
did you understand it was a bit of a game?
Yeah, oh, I did. Not at the time, because we had one colour sergeant. He used to get on his hands and knees in the middle of the square and put his hands together and said, "Lord, please send me some soldiers."
So you didn't know... now, tell us about the boxing. Well, PT.
There was PT, yeah.
Tell us about PT generally and boxing.
Well, PT, you had to do a certain, be able to do a certain amount of fitness. Like, you've got to go up a rope, 12, 13 foot, as part of your training. If you didn't do it, you either got backswatted to learn. You had to do 9 miles in, was it 2 hours? I just forget. With kit, you had to do something.
Force march,
yeah.
What was that like? I presume that's where you're outward bound.
Well, it did, yeah. Good. But, you know, a lot of people dropped out. We used to have to do a cross country every Saturday morning.
How far?
About 8-9 miles across, yeah. Oh, before we'd done that, we had to go, some of us were picked to go to the officer's mess and rake the gravel over. And and shake the small trees to get the loose leaves off, and pick up the leaves, and then rake the gravel over. I have cut grass with a knife and fork.
I'll come. Stick to PT.
Yeah, PT. Yeah.
So what? Now the boxing was part of it. Yeah. You said that was compulsory.
Compulsory, yeah. All the office used to come in the uniform, full dress sign, and you fought against each of another company. I worried my bloke, he thought he'd kill me.
Was that in company? Is that the battalion or in
the... No, in the training. Each bloke fought against one of them. You were weighed and measured, and then said, and then you had a bit of practice for the in the coming days how to defend yourself or what you call fighting, you know, to give you the
was
spirit.
Was it milling? Or
no, we had milling for a start, but this was actual. The referee with a sergeant in the dark trousers, dickie bow and white shirt. All the officers was in their service dress with the medals. And there's the proper timekeeper, you know, and it was all proper evenings boxing.
And you didn't like that?
I didn't like it because the bloke said to me, "Rear your red vest and it won't show the blood." And I thought, I'm on a bit of a loser here, and I did. The bloke put me down in the first round. Big Scotsman. I didn't know where he come from. Bang.
He was better than you.
Well, he was bigger than me as well.
I thought he was supposed to be about the same
size. Well, I don't know, but he...
You didn't like it.
I didn't
What about the milling part? Milling's where you're not allowed to defend yourself.
Well, that's right, yeah, you just keep going in. Well, I could handle that.
Do you think it made you fitter?
Oh, yes, I say...
You lost weight.
I was like somebody coming out of Belsen. I say my mother-in-law-to-be cried when she said she thought I was ill. I mean, my civvy clothes just hung on me.
And you hadn't been overweight, had you?
No, no.
So, anything else about the training? Typical day at training, then? What would you do in the evening? Bullying,
that's all. And if it was allowed out, we used to go down to a local pub called the Clarence. Typical squad is...
Did you drink? Because you were older. I mean, you
I was 21 when I went in.
Did you drink?
Yes. I was on lager in those days, would you believe?
Lager?
Lager. I drank lager.
That was quite unusual then.
Yeah, a bottle lager, yes.
What made you choose that? I mean, because it really... I mean, mild was...
My local pub was the White Lion in Melton. And I used to drink lager and lime. Bottle of lager and topped up with lime. I drank it for years. And that was my tipple, lager.
Did you drink a lot? And a lot is...
No, I never got drunk. Never got drunk.
So what would that be? 4 or 5 pints or 1 or 2?
About three. Well, don't forget, we're only getting... Well, we've got no money. We're only about 10 bob a week or something like that.
So what do you spend your pay on?
Cleaning kit. And fish and egg and chips in the naffy. My mother and father used to send me money. Even when I was with the 1st Battalion.
Now, what about the canteen? What did that offer as a young lad? You know, was it a wet canteen, firstly? Served beer? I mean,
No, only the naffy did. The naffy was a wet beer, yes.
And what was in there?
Darts, dominoes, cards, jukebox. And the two women behind the counter serving sandwiches, Chris and your beer.
Good place? Popular with the lads, or?
Well, nowhere else to go, was it? Especially if you've got no money.